Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
I am far more concerned than what's happening at the editorial page by what's happening in news pages.
Molly Hemingway speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
In news pages, that old idea that we had for a few decades of aiming toward objectivity has just been completely thrown out the window.
And this is a generalization, but I think it bears out. And again, I mean, even 5-10 years ago, it would have sounded crazy that I'd be saying this, but I mean, I think it is the case. You have to view the explicit goal of most of the major journalistic institutions in this country as electing Democrats. And when they aren't electing Democrats, they're trying to push the Democratic Party further left.
You can watch and listen to a recording of journalists Mark and Molly Hemingway's Q&A from our 2020 Making the Case conference. It's available in both video and audio formats for a tax-deductible contribution of $250. Learn more at issuesetc.org.
They're scared to talk about their real beliefs because they believe it could come back to hurt them in their classrooms, in their jobs. That's how divided America is right now.
So the idea is not that abortion is the only issue that matters, but there can be issues, including abortion or slavery and other things, that might disqualify a candidate from getting your vote.
So how can you make sure that your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds on the great scales? You can do the greatest good deed of all, and that is, by Muhammad's own words, jihad.
Our prince is not one of the candidates for president. Our prince is the one who is feeding us food that is eternal food for a life that never ends.
Wisconsin turkey producers love Issues Etc.
They assured us that it would not go beyond marriage equality. All the worries about, well, will it impinge upon religious freedom? Will advancing the agenda of the sexual revolution touch upon people's free speech? They said, no, it's never going to get there. Well, Human Rights Campaign, under the banner Beyond Marriage Equality, has issued some suggestions for the incoming Biden administration that includes, among other things, yanking the accreditation of religious schools that, well, don't comply with the orthodoxies of the sexual revolution. Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Monday afternoon, the 23rd of November. We're going to be talking about Human Rights Campaign demanding that the Biden administration deny accreditation to Christian schools. Dr. Albert Mohler, president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, will be our guest. And a little bit later, we'll talk about the record number of pro-life women elected to the U.S. Congress with Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. Dr. Albert Mohler is a regular guest. He's president of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. He's author of several books, including his latest, The Gathering Storm, Secularism, Culture, and the Church, and a recent column titled A Direct Threat to Christian Education. Dr. Mohler, welcome back.
Todd, it's always good to be with you. Thank you.
You've been president of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary for 27 years, and you've been in higher education, I believe, for about another decade past that. Did you ever imagine that you'd be facing something like this?
You know, that's a great question, Todd. And I guess in one sense, yes, in that I knew that once this revolution in morality and gender, although I didn't see the T coming as clearly as it came, I knew that there was going to be a head-on collision with religious liberty. But no, in the sense, I never would have said that by the year 2020, we'd be facing an open call with an incoming Democratic administration to basically strip Christian higher education of the ability to be Christian.
You say that you have never seen a document like the Human Rights Campaign Blueprint for Positive Change 2020. Tell us about the document itself.
Yeah, you know, I saw this referenced in the mainstream media, just that the Human Rights Campaign was one of many organizations making demands to the incoming Biden administration, as it was said. And there are all kinds of groups on the left, ACLU, secularist organizations, but it mentioned Human Rights Campaign. So I thought, you know, I'm just going to find all those documents and look at them. And the Human Rights Campaign document, as you said, is entitled Blueprint for Positive Change 2020. It's right there in in black and white and actually blue. It's that's their corporate color. And right there, I mean, I'm just reading through it, and then I got to, like, page 8, and under the Department of Education demands, it says, ensure non-discrimination policies and science-based curricula are not undermined by religious exemptions to accreditation standards. And, Todd, everything became clear to me, because I have been in Christian higher education for nearly 40 years. In fact, I guess now over 40 years. And the bottom line is, this is an insidious, diabolical, but brilliant attack on Christian higher education. And I should not say Christian higher education, all Christian education, because accreditation applies to many Christian schools and academies as well.
What is the current religious exemption for accreditation for religious educational institutions in the Higher Education Opportunity Act?
You know, it's kind of limited, but it's there. And this goes back to 1972, where even as the Civil Rights Act of 1964 is applied to higher education, and even as the issue of gender was added, or sex, which is the actual word of the text, they created these exemptions for religious schools. And there are two requirements. It has to be controlled by a religious organization, and the school has to prove that the, quote, application of the law would conflict with specific tenets of the religion, end quote. And it's interesting, the exemption came up because of the question of sex first, that is, male and female, because in both historic confessional Protestantism and in Roman Catholicism and Orthodox Judaism, there's a discrimination as to who's going to serve as rabbi, priest, or minister, preacher. And so that's the reason it was there. And then that has applied with the advent of the LGBTQ issues. Now the LGBTQ movement saying they want to go right for our accreditation by denying us the exemption, and actually using that in order to say that accrediting agencies now should not respect the rights of Christian institutions to be Christian. So it's not just going at tax funding. It's not just going at the nonprofit status of schools. It's going at their ability to operate by accreditation. That's the new thing.
So how does this blueprint from Human Rights Campaign understand what it calls science-based curriculum standards?
You know, it's one of those very powerful misuses of language, and you put your finger on something that's really important. So then you look at it and say, well, who would want schools to be accredited that aren't following science-based curricula? And, you know, as a Christian, and by the way, an ardent confessional creationist, you know, most people look at that and say, well, that's about creation evolution. In this case, it's not. It's about their claim that modern science proves their idea of sexual identity and of gender fluidity and of the non-existence of a gender binary. And you can see exactly where this is going. It goes right to whether or not Christian schools can teach the Bible.
Could the blueprint be applied beyond Christian colleges and universities?
Yeah, because accreditation is a broader issue than that. And it depends on at least state by state, the analysis of state and local law. But the reality is that if this is adopted as the Human Rights Campaign is demanding, then it will eventually apply to just every level of education because everything becomes standardized.
If Christian colleges and universities were to comply with the blueprint's proposal, what would that mean for what they taught and how they ran themselves?
Well, it would mean Christian schools denying Christian truth, biblical truth. I mean, we are bound by Scripture to understand God's purpose in creation, God's revelation in our embodiment, God's declaration of what it means to be male and female, God's rules concerning marriage and human sexuality. And this is an outright demand that we be forced to choose between being recognized as a legitimate educational institution and standing for biblical truth. They're demanding we have to do one or the other. But it would be to sacrifice the very soul of Christian higher education.
You say that the accreditation issue is a more basic threat than evil, as you mentioned before, even federal funding for Christian educational institutions.
Right.
Why is it more basic?
Well, just to give you one example, I'm the president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Boyce College. We don't take a dime of money. We don't participate in any federal student aid programs. We're one of about 6 schools in the country that does not. So if all this was about tax money and student aid, it wouldn't affect us. But accreditation does, and they know it. Because an unaccredited institution, it's an avalanche of issues. Number one, is often denied the ability to operate in certain states. Secondly, is put in a position in which its credits don't count towards degrees elsewhere. Its graduates can't apply to graduate study elsewhere. It gets right down to the GI Bill. Can't go to a non-accredited institution. It even comes down to the finances of an institution. There are a lot of donors who just wouldn't give to an unaccredited school. And beyond that, there are a lot of banks that won't lend to an unaccredited school. It's a way of saying this is an outlaw organization. And you know, Todd, that's really what this is about. It's about targeting conservative Christian schools as outlaws, to be treated as outlaws.
What are the blueprint's recommendations to other departments of the executive branch of government?
You know, it's really pretty impressive, to tell you the truth, in a horrifying sense. They've addressed something to every major department of the federal government. I'll tell you one that caught my eye, and this one has to do with the Department of State, demanding that there be created a panel of, quote, human rights experts to review conclusions of the commission established by Secretary Pompeo, the conclusion of the Commission on Unalienable Rights. And, you know, this was really brilliant, and this is an insidious attack upon the idea that you have certain rights that are constitutionally protected, and then you have artificial invented rights. I think Secretary Pompeo is absolutely right, and his commission did wonderful work. There are certain rights that are a part of what God has given us in creation, is declared in the Declaration of Independence, but there's no mention of abortion. Abortion's not a natural right. The homosexual LGBT revolution is not about unalienable rights. And by the way, this comes to the Secretary of State because the State Department has to decide which human rights it contends for, even in international relations.
Given what we know about President-elect Biden's positions, how likely is it that he will adopt the recommendation of the Human Rights Campaign's Blueprint for Positive Change 2020?
You know, one of the interesting things about Joe Biden is that he has been trying to claim and to demonstrate that he would be the most radically pro-LGBTQ president ever. And so he's been saying that all during the primary season. He's been saying that in the Democratic National Convention. He's been saying that since he's elected. So I intend to take him at his word. I think he's told us what he intends to do. Now, the limitations on the president beyond executive orders, that could be very interesting, because thankfully this is written into legislation. It's not just an executive order he could reverse. But it points to the necessity of those who would resist this holding a majority in the United States Senate. And as you know, that's going to take us all the way to January the 5th.
He has pledged and continues to pledge to pass or sign the Equality Act to make it to his desk, and he wants it to be a day one priority. What is that, and what would that mean?
Well, I think what we're looking at is the fact that an incoming President Biden would, on the first day of office, sign executive orders to try to reverse everything that conservatives have long fought for, conservative Christians on issues of abortion, the Mexico City policy related to abortion funding and international relations, and LGBT issues. It could be that Biden would put an emphasis upon the T, the transgender issues. He's given indications of that. And, elections have consequences, so his executive orders will require a court fight to oppose them.
What do Christian educational institutions need to do now to prepare for the changes proposed by the Human Rights Campaign?
Well, you know, it's really interesting. When I read to you that statement from the statute about the exemption that Christian colleges can have, it says that it must demonstrate that, quote, application of the law would conflict with specific tenets of the religion, end quote. You know, Todd, one of the most important things every church and denomination must do is articulate its beliefs on the entire array of issues related to marriage, sexuality, gender, sex, and make them explicitly an official part of church teaching. My denomination's done it. My church has done it. But any church that hasn't is really opening a great vulnerability. But Todd, one more thing. I believe in confessional Christian higher education. We're about to find out the institutions that claim to be Christian that are going to put this in actual text and say to the world, this is what we believe. We're about to find out where the true Christian colleges are.
Dr. Albert Moeller is president of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. He's author of several books, including his latest, The Gathering Storm, Secularism, Culture, and the Church, and a recent column titled A Direct Threat to Christian education. You can read it and purchase The Gathering Storm at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Dr. Moeller, thank you very much for your time.
Todd, it's always good to be with you. God bless you.
Marjorie Danfelser joins us on the other side of the break. We're going to be talking with her about a record number of pro-life women elected to the U.S. Congress. She's president of the Susan B. Anthony List.
Do you want your neighbors and community to see what you're celebrating this Christmas season? Why not display an outdoor nativity in front of your home or church? It's a great way to show others what Christmas is all about, the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Check out the Outdoor Nativity Store at OutdoorNativityStore.com. Durable, affordable, and American-made nativities. OutdoorNativityStore.com. OutdoorNativityStore.com.
For a year-end tax-deductible gift of $250 or more to Issues Etc., we'll send you our new book, Objections Overruled, Answering Arguments Against Christianity, and a recording of 15 Epiphany hymns featuring the Lutheran Public Radio Choir. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org, or you can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Many educational institutions are governed by the whims of culture and are increasingly hostile to the Word of God. In contrast, Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, provides classical Lutheran education rooted in God's Word for students preschool through grade 12. Simply put, we equip students to stand firm in the faith through solid education focused on wisdom and virtue. We offer in-person instruction as well as live online classes for remote learning. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
It's almost that special time to unpack your Advent and Christmas ornaments. But there's a problem. Your ornaments are from the 80s. They're made of styrofoam, the glitter has dropped off, and they are being held together with toothpicks. Don't celebrate another Christmas harkening back to the age of glitter balls. Ad Crusum's ornaments are beautifully designed and lovingly made, right here in Colorado. We offer all the old designs and a whole lot of new ones. Visit adcrusum.com. That's ADCRUCEM.com.